Thank you, Dan. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. What an incredible morning this is. And I'm telling you, what an honor to stand up here before all of you on behalf of the Orange Catholic Foundation Conference on Business Ethics. I also want to give my congratulations to Tim Buckley and my good friend, Big Tim Strader, for their awards and their contributions as Catholic men. I wish my mom and dad were here right now. They'd be ecstatic to see a Sacred Heart grade school from Yonkers, New York, here with Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York. Although I'm also sure they'd wonder what the heck I'm doing up here talking about business and ethics. So that's my friends over there laughing. First and foremost, I really do want to express my sincerest gratitude and appreciation to the Orange Catholic Foundation for placing such a high value on the commitment to ethical best practices in the workplace, or in my case, the football field, and in our daily lives. As you well know, the proceeds and funds raised from this event provide financial aid for students within our great Diocese of Orange. This is an endeavor that is near and dear to my heart, one in which I have been personally involved with at Mater Dei High School for the last 15 years. Fundraising to provide financial aid to students who otherwise could not afford high-quality Catholic education is worth every minute and every dime spent here this morning, and I thank all of you. I am an incredibly blessed man, and I thank God every day for the blessings He has bestowed on me. And while I am truly honored to receive this award, the Lifetime Achievement Award, I do so on behalf of an incredible team that have supported me throughout my lifetime, a team made up of family, friends, colleagues, coaches, and players and parents, both of the past and the present. I had the great blessing of two wonderful sisters, Barbara and my sister Marcia, who stood by my side all these years, and my parents, Bob and May Rawlinson, who provided us with a strong foundation based on faith, family, and friendship, which I always strive to follow. I am blessed with the most incredible, supportive, caring family. My wife, Lori, who was mentioned earlier, my daughters, Caroline and Catherine, as well as my son-in-laws, Will Flanagan and Bill Peterson, and my two grandsons, Matthew and Joseph Flanagan. All of you know how much I love and care for you, and I mention those grandsons because all you grandfathers out there, like my wife says, it's the most fun we've had in decades. I also want to thank Mater Dei High School, and in particular, our president, Patrick Murphy, and our principal, Francis Clare, who are here this morning. Mater Dei is an incredibly unique place, almost magical. To work at Mater Dei or to be a student at Mater Dei means that you become part of something bigger than yourself. You become part of the Mater Dei family. And finally, I'd like to thank again Dan Walker, the CEO of Farmers and Merchants Bank, as well as my good friend Kevin Tiber, the Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Farmers and Merchants. And gentlemen, I look forward to our continued work together, and we thank you for everything. As I mentioned earlier, my parents would be both surprised and amused to learn that their son, who often found his way into mischief and was more fond of breaking rules than following them growing up, was speaking at a conference on business and ethics. Here's a great example. When I accepted the position as head football coach 30 years ago, I was so elated. I was so fired up. I took off down Edinger Avenue going about 70 and was immediately pulled over one of Santa Ana PD's finest. Not exactly a law-abiding or ethically sound start to my future and my tenure. Fortunately, the police officer, as it was written in the law, was a monarch, and he let me off. As the new head ball coach, I'd be honest, in the 90s, all I wanted to do was win football games and reestablish the program as a national powerhouse. But initially, I did not know the impact or the influence, for good or ill, that I, as the head coach, would have on my players. Somewhere, I awakened to that. Somewhere, fortunately, along the way, I started to understand that it was just as important to teach football as it was to teach life. Instilling the highest ideals of character, moral conduct, loyalty, and brotherhood in my players on the field so that they could carry that over to their personal and professional endeavors for the rest of their lives. Recently, I came across an article by Bruce Weinstein, a writer for Forbes magazine. Some of you may have seen this. He was posed a very simple question. What's the difference between ethics and business ethics? Weinstein explains the principles of ethics that help us solve ethical dilemmas in everyday life are the same principles that provide guidance in business. Number one, do no harm. Number two, make things better. Number three, respect others. Number four, be fair. Number five, care. It seems Mr. Weinstein and I share similar perspectives on the parallel between the principles of business ethics and everyday ethics, or in my world, the principles of modern day football. This led me to reflect on the principles that guide modern day football, our business ethics, if you will, day in and day out. First of all, we are going to treat all of our athletes in a fair, honest, and consistent fashion, and expect that same treatment to be emulated by the athletes to each other. Secondly, modern day football is built upon a foundation of brotherhood and giving back. Ladies and gentlemen, this game of football is bigger than any one person, one athlete, or one win, which we constantly enforce and ingrain in our players. Finally, our program philosophy is built on commitment, organization, support, and plain old hard work. That being said, we do not rest on this philosophy or leave it be. Each and every year, we make minor changes in the overall structure of our program, changes that allow us to adapt to current times. I'll be honest, if I were to apply the same coaching and the same ethics that I used in the 90s, we would not nowhere have the success that we are having today. It's a different world, it's a different kid, and it's a different parent. Let's briefly speak about the core principles of modern day football, treating athletes in a fair, honest, and consistent fashion. One of the most common statements, if not the most common statement, a coach hears in sports today from both players and especially parents is, it's not fair. Well, I really get tired of hearing that. And I'm sure many of you in this room feel the same way. The well-known response is, well, life is not fair. But my response, however, is everyone has their own definition of what is fair. Let me give you an example. You have a second string player. He practices all week, and he does a great job. The first string player is out with a sprained ankle, and he's getting treatment. And the second team player shows up every day. He puts in his reps, and he does well. But on the morning of the game, the doctors release the first string player from the injury list, clearing him to play in the game that night. And despite a week of mispractice, he remains the best player at his position. We as coaches, the experts in our program, our business of football, feel it's fair to play the best eligible player on the field. That's our definition of fair. 9 times out of 10, the parents of the second string player will say, "No, it's not fair. My son isn't getting to start or play when he practiced all week and the other kid did not," because their definition of fair is different than my definition of what is fair. Or here's another instance. Parents have confronted me by stating, "My son's a senior. Why isn't he playing more? He's been in the program for 3 years. This is his senior year." That's not fair. By our program's definition, a fair grade or seniority do not determine who should play or the amount of playing time. Talent, skill, and athleticism at that particular position do. Or sometimes I'll hear, actually more than sometimes I'll hear, "He works hard, he should play more." Regarding working hard, isn't that what we're supposed to do as a competitive athlete? Really, isn't that what we're supposed to do in life? Work hard. Why should working hard by itself be rewarded when that's what we're supposed to do? The next principle of utmost importance to us is honesty. Although it seems simple, being honest is one of the more challenging tasks that lay in our hands as coaches. This is even more true for coaches of high school athletes who hold a tremendous responsibility in developing players academically, spiritually, and athletics. Telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth is often the path of honesty to avoid. One sentence of praise, and it was spoken here earlier, one sentence of praise can make a player's day, giving him or her the confidence they need. But on the other hand, one sentence can break a player's spirit or cause his or her confidence to just flounder, to just go in the tank. Let me give you an example. You have a less than stellar player, great kid, but he's not real good. Now he approaches me and he says, "Coach, how am I doing? What do you think I need to work on?" Now, if I were to be completely honest with the kid, I'd say, "Well, you need to work on everything. Your footwork, your speed, your instincts, your eye-hand coordination, and so on." But what I've just done is destroyed him. I've devastated him. Instead, a more ethically appropriate response would be to include the truth with positives intertwined. Continue to work hard, son, in practice. Keep studying your film and do everything in your power to become a better player. In the world of football, this is an honest answer that says you're not quite ready yet and you still have room for improvement. But it's achieved in a way that lets the player down easier, but it also does not provide false hope. In a high school football program, or in any business for that matter, trouble can arise from dishonesty. Take a position coach who is approached by a player or a parent inquiring why the athlete is not playing that much. And this has happened to me. If the coach is afraid of repercussion or he doesn't want to hurt the player's feelings, he may respond by saying, "If it was up to me, you'd be playing." Now you have a whole set of problems that have arisen from this dishonest encounter, and you get to deal with it. Honestly, therefore, must be consistent across all leaders in any business or organization, just as we must be consistent on how we define fair. Which brings me to the final core principle of our program, consistency. The most fundamental practice we're consistent is, I mentioned it earlier, we're going to play the best players. We are not and we cannot be influenced by wealth, the dad promising major donations. I was promised a Rolex watch in the 90s. We cannot be influenced by color or creed. And we cannot be influenced by previous circumstance, rumor, or that famous personal request, please play my son. That's not going to fly. We are consistent in how we come to this determination of who the best players are to play. Through an evaluation process that is thorough, and it's based on varying teaching techniques. Not all kids learn the same. Now, this evaluation process is ongoing, and sometimes changes are needed to be made. But again, we are consistent in our decision making. The best players play. And once the decision is made, it must be backed, supported by every person in the room. These core principles, treating players and each other in a fair, honest, and consistent fashion, guide our behaviors, but it is the foundation of modern-day football, rooted in brotherhood and giving back, that guides our culture. As I said earlier, the game of football is bigger than any one player, any one game, any one season. This must be constantly reminded to our players in today's day and age, where so much emphasis is placed on an athlete's star ranking, it's almost like it's a continuation of his name. How we accomplish this is not only by building camaraderie, but developing a brotherhood amongst the teammates and coaches. Our players know that their teammates will battle for them for 48 minutes on a Friday night. But they also know those brothers will be there for them off the field. And the same goes for the coaches. No call, no text from a player ever goes unanswered. Whether the question is playing time or whatever the issue is, whether it's related to football or not, it is our responsibility to mentor these athletes. I have to admit to you, it is music to my ears when past or present players say goodbye, whether it be in a text or a phone call or in person, personal conversation, and they sign off with, love you, coach. Love you, brother. That, to me, is what football is all about. As I began to understand the significance of our brotherhood, I realized the opportunity at hand, the opportunity to incorporate this bond amongst our three stripers to our other core foundation component, giving back, by serving together as a team. In 2007, Monarchs for Marines was founded. It was the brainchild of Les and Beverly Barkley, Matt Barkley's parents. And we came up with a mission statement for Monarchs for Marines, which will provide support and encouragement to the Marines protecting our freedoms in Iraq at the time and around the world, as well as their families living on or near Camp Pendleton. So what we do in the summer is we spend a day at Camp Pendleton. First of all, we host a football practice and clinic because the Marines have 10 to 12 competitive football teams on the base. Quick lunch with the Marines, which is a great bonding for the kids. And then we spin around and we host a dance camp of 200 children with our dance team. And my team hosts a football camp for the children of the Marines on base and off base. 400 to 600 kids for 3 hours, and then we conclude the day with a barbecue where anybody and everybody is welcome. Last summer, we fed over 2,500 people. The day culminates, and this is when it gets powerful, and this is what I'm all about. The day culminates with the 1st Marine Division. The commander of the 1st Marine Division presented my players with the revered Guadalcanal patch. And as the Marines bear this patch on their uniforms for battle, our players wear this patch on their game jerseys. You have seen the blue diamond on our football jersey. This is a rare and a demonstrative sign of the Monarch's dedication, and we are dedicated to the 1st Marine Division. This year will mark our 12th annual Monarchs for Marines, and each year it becomes more and more evident and more profound the impact this program has, not only on the 1st Marine Division, but on my team and my players. This is a day when I watch them step up, when I watch them forget about, I'm an All-American, I'm a five-star athlete, I'm going to Alabama. And they just get into it with these kids and they give back. In my 30-year tenure as the modern-day football coach, and I've had my fair share of sweet victories and memorable season, I get more satisfaction from former players who share their personal and professional successes with me than whatever any of those victories could provide. A phone call from a former player who shares he just finished med school and is now a doctor. Or a text from a Monarch letting me know he's just been promoted at work or he's won a big legal case. Or one of my favorites, Coach, I just had a son or daughter. Those are the big wins in my book. Those are the victories that let me know he drank the Monarch football Kool-Aid and he applied the principles of ethics learned on the playing field to his life and his future. That, to me, again, is what it's all about. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's all said and done, here's how I look at it. You control the effort. God controls the outcome. Very simple. You control the effort. God controls the outcome. So whether you're a CEO or the head football coach, a manager or an assistant coach, a coordinator or a player, always strive to give your greatest effort because success is not possible any other way. God bless and go Monarchs!